How will Toyota's leader face the fire?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The CEO of Toyota testifies to Congress this week about the company's many vehicle recalls. And now he's got an extra PR problem. Newly released documents show Toyota officials bragging about how they saved $100 million by getting the government to agree to only a limited floor mat recall. Marketplace's Elisa Roth asks some public relations experts how Akio Toyota should handle the grilling he will get from Congress.
Congress says these hearings are about gathering facts. Eric Desenhall sees it differently.
It is basically about scolding.
He runs a crisis management firm in Washington, and part of his job is coaching people to testify before Congress.
And what your executive who sits there, more than anything else, he has to learn to take a beating.
But in the process, he does have to answer a few questions nicely, apologize, and try not to incriminate himself or the company. Gene Grabowski works in the crisis and litigation practice at Levick Strategic Communications. He says Toyota should answer honestly.
On the other hand, you don't discuss every problem and every issue. You focus on one or two that are very important, and you use those as platforms to talk about what you're doing to make sure that those problems never arise again.
Language may be a problem. Desenhall says Toyota should answer questions in English with an interpreter standing by. But the most important lesson for Toyota may be this. A congressional hearing isn't something you win. If you're lucky, it's just an ordeal you survive. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Today, President Obama will try to revive the health care overhaul. Reports this morning say he'll propose his own plan, and it includes giving federal authorities power to limit rate hikes by health insurers. This comes days before the much-hyped health care summit on Thursday. Now, let's do the numbers. Asian shares jumped today. Japan's Nikkei closed at a three-week high, showing some confidence in the world recovery. European stocks are mixed. On Friday, the Dow edged up 9 points. It closed at 10,402. Remember those credit card reforms Congress passed last spring? Well, most of them kick in today. The CARD Act is designed to protect consumers. It's expected to cost the industry more than $20 billion this year. So, says Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith, the card companies are finding new ways to make money, a lot of ways.
Under the new rules, credit card companies can't raise your interest rate for the first year. After that, they'll have to give you 45 days' notice, plenty of time to cancel your card. That's bad news for the industry. Card companies typically make two-thirds of their money from interest payments. So, to make up for that lost revenue, credit cards are taking a page from another industry. Ron Shevlin analyzes banking products for the Aite Group.
I would characterize what the future is going to look like here as the airlineification of the credit card industry. They've kind of nickeled and dimed consumers to death.
With fees. First, they'll raise the fees we already pay to transfer balances when payments are late and just for the privilege of having the card. And then there are the new fees, says Josh Frank with the Center for Responsible Lending.
There have been all kinds of fees they've thought up. There's inactivity fees, there's low activity fees, there's statement fees being added.
Fees for collecting rewards, fees for having your card declined, fees for using your plastic overseas.
Yeah, there was a foreign transaction fee on this. This is a Citibank Visa of $94.12.
That's Tom Gallagher reading his credit card statement. He heads up sales for Sykes Racing North America, which sells racing boats. He spends a lot of time abroad and recently noticed a new fee for using his card overseas.
When I used to travel, you'd think, well, I don't need that much cash. I'll just use my card. And then at the end of the statement, you find that they put on a pretty hefty foreign transaction fee on top of that.
Gallagher says he's thinking about using more cash when he travels or switching cards. But many people may not notice the new fees, especially if they're small, says the Center for Responsible Lending's Josh Frank. Still, he says, the credit card companies sure will.
These small things all add up to large amounts of money for them.
The credit card industry took in more than $20 billion in fees last year. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. by the new Harvard Business Review, a source of smart thinking for today's business world. The revival of smart begins at hbr.org. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at microsoft.com/cloud services.
This week, Democratic Senator Chris Dodd unveils his financial reform bill, and Republican Richard Shelby will introduce his financial reform bill. They had been working on a joint measure before talks broke down. Reporter Brett Neely has more.
All last week, rumors swirled about what's in both draft bills. But Karen Petru of Federal Financial Analytics says no one knows for sure.
This is one of those periods in the legislative process where there's lots of smoke, and figuring out what's fire-driven is very difficult.
There appears to be a deal that the Treasury Secretary will lead a new systemic risk council to police behavior that could take down the financial system. Both bills are also likely to propose ways to unwind failed financial firms without resorting to expensive bailouts. But there's likely to be one major difference between Shelby and Dodd's bill, says Petru.
The only third rail is the Consumer Financial Protection Agency, as far as I can tell.
Shelby and the Republicans say a new independent agency isn't needed. Dodd and the Obama administration say reform won't mean much without the agency. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
And finally, when traditional debt collectors fail, it's time to call El Cobrador del Frac, or the debt collector in top hat and tails. It's a Spanish company that uses shame to get debtors to pay up. The Christian Science Monitor reports a well-dressed debt collector might walk into a restaurant and sit next to your date. Or one time, a couple didn't pay the catering bill for their wedding, so El Cobrador telephoned each guest, told them there was an unpaid bill, and asked whether they had the lobster or the chicken. The company's success rate is supposedly 70%. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Join us online for a new brain teaser. Test your knowledge with the Daily Nugget at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.